wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we are halfway home here on what is just an absolute insane time in the Bay Area sports landscape. Bob Melvin out as San Francisco Giants manager. Warriors media day yesterday. A lot of questions about a guy that's not even there in Jonathan Kuminga. Steph Curry had to talk about it. Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, they all talked about it. And what is going to be going down on Thursday Night Football, where the Niners are heading down to L.A. at SoFi Stadium to take on the Rams, who are 3-1 as well with a massive win over the Colts? Is it going to be Brock? Is it going to be Mac Jones? Who knows? We'll be monitoring it all week long leading up to Thursday. But right now, it's 8:03, a couple minutes after. We just had Baldy on, and that means it's time, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, for the king himself.
Can he hear ye? Quiet down.
Quiet down. Fonte Hill, ladies and gentlemen, in studio for the next 2 hours, every single Tuesday at this time. And you just heard that. I saw you get there a little bit early, Bonte. So you got to hear some of what Baldy had to say with us. And before I could even finish my sentence, what stuck out to me was his just absolute distaste for what he saw from the defensive line and the lack of effort on that forced fumble specifically from Fred Warner. Good morning, Bonte.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. And, yeah, we could start there. I'm a little surprised we're starting there. But the defensive line, and this is what we talked about last week, when you have a Nick Bosa, who, whether you think he's a top five defensive end or pass rusher or whatever it is, you have to game plan for him. And the fact that Jacksonville did not have to game plan for him, and all of a sudden there's more attention on Bryce Huff. There's more attention on Michael Williams. There's more attention on Sam Okwuanu and Alfred Collins, whoever else is rushing the passer, not to get a quarterback hit or a sniff on Trevor Lawrence and give up the run game. And that was one of the biggest worries for me going into the game was Travis Etienne entered the game averaging 5.9 yards a carry. Mm. Not a lot of people are talking about Travis Etienne. He's having a resurgence. And so to be able to run the ball and be balanced and then not allow your quarterback to get touched, it's a very underrated offensive line to Jacksonville. All the metrics and everything say they're a top five offensive line. So, yeah, reinforcements are going to need to come, as Baldy said.
But they lost their right tackle in the middle of that game and were playing a backup. Like, I hear you, but it was just bad. I mean, and then they missed a lot of tackles, it felt like, overall. I thought there were some poor angles on me on the big touchdown play. Like, Pinnock's got to get a body on him. Like, he's got to get a body on him.
On the Travis Etienne touchdown line? Well, I also thought D. Winters ran to the wrong hole. Mm. I thought he shot the wrong gap. And you could see it at the end where the camera pans to him. He knew that he shot the wrong gap. Now, on the same time, on that play, Michael Williams has got to do a better job of funneling Travis Etienne inside. Travis Etienne was able to get outside and break containment, and D. Winters shoots the wrong gap, and then you get old Travis Etienne's in the end zone doing a dance. So, look, their offensive line, yeah, I know the backup was in there for a little bit, but you look at the pass rushers, who do you fear on this defensive line right now?
No.
And now you have Matthew Stafford on the Thursday night. You want to give him a lot of time? He's lighting up right now. So, it's problems right now for the defensive line. They need reinforcements in a hurry.
Well, and like if Renardo Green's not going to play in this game, you know, they got two receivers. I mean, Puka's very difficult to stop, obviously. And then you got Devontae, and you're asking yourself, like, all right, well, how are you going to utilize the one player who is healthy in that secondary who's playing pretty good is D'Amador Lenore. You know, are you going to have him shadow one of these guys? He doesn't really do that a whole lot. So, like, I don't know, man. I think they're this is a tough one.
Yeah, you know, before we go all doom and gloom, because I'm sure I already do, once the game was over, I've been in this business for a while.
They're 3-1. Things, what doom and gloom?
No, no, no. But we know the temperature around here. Come on.
Well, there's a lot of injuries.
I was listening. Yeah, exactly.
It is true.
Told Baldy he's got anxiety. So nobody knows.
Bosa's out for the year.
Listen,
Kittle
I get it.
Kittle is currently out. Purdy is dealing with, obviously, a foot injury. Your two starting wide receivers that aren't Ayuk, Jennings and Pearsall, are both up in the air right now. Like, I think this is a pretty healthy fear of the reality of the situation.
That's fine.
They have 12 people on the hypothetical injury report.
Look, you look at these first nine games, and this is something that when you have a lot of new players and you have these injuries coming into the season, I wanted 5-4 after 9 games. Because 6 of the first 9 are on the road again. And this whole easy schedule talk, schedule's easy. Well, how does the back-to-back on the road look in Houston and New York? It doesn't look easy. There's no easy games in the NFL. And so they're 3-1, and I'm sure they could be 1-3. You could say that about Dallas. You could say that about Green Bay. You could say that about a number of teams in this league. I get it. They're 3-1, and reinforcements will come. It's just how quickly will they come? So even if you lose this game against the LA Rams, you're 3-2. You get a nice little extended bye week. They moved the time up to Tampa Bay, so now you're playing a 1:25 kickoff instead of a 10 a.m. kickoff. And by that time, you should have Kittle back.
Well, you don't know. We haven't heard of him running or anything.
I'm saying you should have him back. I said should have him back. So I'm not going to freak out quite yet because we got a long way to go. A lot of teams are going to get beat up, but I get it. The injuries are kind of just, wow, Pearsall's hurt. Juwan Jennings got a rib issue now after getting cracked in the end zone. Purdy, your franchise quarterback, has got a toe issue, and he uses his mobility, which helped him get back in that game against Jacksonville. And then, of course, the Bosa injury. You can't account for that.
I don't think there's a way to make that up.
You got to somehow generate a pass rush, whether you're blitzing or whatnot. But I do have faith in John Lynch and saying, I'm not going to stand by this. I'm not just going to watch this thing over and over and over where you don't get a quarterback hit. So I think they will trade for somebody. And should they trade for somebody? Why not? Because they can take on any contract. At this point, it's going to be prorated anyway.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people want Trey Hendrickson. Look, Cincinnati and Mike Brown, do your research on Mike Brown.
They don't trade.
They will wait until the last minute. Think about Raider fans and how they got stuck up for Carson Palmer. They waited until the last second to trade Carson Palmer.
New Jack City.
So, look, I don't know if Trey Henderson is going to be available for this team, but could there be other players? I don't know. But, look, they're 3-1 right now, and they just got to get healthy. That's the biggest thing.
Well, and the biggest thing right now, speaking of health, is the quarterback, and you mentioned him, Brock Purdy. What did you see, Bonte, from Brock? And first, before we even actually get to that, did you think he should have started this game?
Well, Mac Jones was beat up. Mac Jones couldn't move.
Mac Jones would have been a full participant according to this hypothetical injury report yesterday.
But he's got a PCL injury.
Going into last week.
Yeah, sure.
He was limping off the field against Arizona after he scored 16 points.
He was limited.
Right?
Yeah.
He was limping. He couldn't even get a handoff to Christian McCaffrey. Remember that?
I do.
He fell over. He couldn't move. So if he's banged up and Purdy's 75, 80%, do you want to go AJ Martinez? That's what we're looking at here.
No,
you want to go Adrian Martinez?
I would have rather gone, if both of my quarterbacks are banged up, I'd rather go with the guy not making $100 plus million.
Mac Jones would have got killed in that football game.
I disagree.
He would have got killed in that football game.
I completely disagree.
He can't move.
I do think there's a...
Purdy couldn't move most of that game.
When they got back in the game down 26-14, Purdy started playing street football, moving around the pocket, running around and whatnot. His mobility may have been limited, but it's a lot better than Max. Behind that offensive line,
yes.
Mac Jones would have got destroyed against that football team in Jacksonville.
Disagree. I think his arm talent would have been far superior than what I saw from Brock Purdy on Sunday.
They would have been hunting Mac Jones in that pocket. That pocket was not clean on Sunday.
Are you worried about Brock Purdy? I mean, clearly the foot is a thing he's dealing with, and it's not going to get healthier if he continues to keep playing. And I know they got a 10-game stretch. If they can, whatever happens Thursday, you got about 10 days until Tampa Bay. It's worrisome, like the Purdy foot thing. I don't know how else you're going to get him without sitting him.
It's turf toe. And we know how turf toe deal. We see Charles Woodson deal with it. Deion Sanders deal with it. Turf toes
could end careers.
I don't know if it end career. I don't know if it. I've seen a lot of guys with turf toe come back and play. But it is a lingering injury. It's a lingering injury.
So what do you do?
You got to tough it out. He's got to tough it out. Who gives you the better chance to win football games and go deep into the playoffs?
Well, when he's healthy, it's him. But I don't think he's. I don't think he's healthy, and I think it is compromising some of his play.
Well, I thought a lot of it was rust.
Okay,
selling, not right. playing. You didn't play until Seattle, and think about it. This is why you got to play preseason. I was off the preseason hype, but after listening to Jerry and listening to a lot of former players, I think they're right. You need to play in the preseason. Purdy not playing a lot of preseason, then you get thrown into Seattle. And he had his ups and downs to Seattle.
It was more good than bad.
It was more good than bad, but you could say it's rust. Then you miss two games. Then you come back against Jacksonville, who gets a very good defense. The defense is good. We're going to get to the coaches and everything. I respect what Jacksonville's doing. I think there's a lot of soft people involved with the 49ers who are kind of ripped. But we'll get there. I'll let you guys know about that. I think a lot of it was rust early on, and then he was just selling balls, and it's not good. It's not good. So was it health permitted? He admits that. Shanahan admitted yesterday to saying, hey, I got a call from Brock Purdy, said his toe was sore. Maybe that was after the game. Maybe they shot it up with Toradol and he was able to get through the game. But he was not good on Sunday. There's no sugarcoating it. He made bad throws and he sailed a lot of balls. And when I was watching him, especially in the third quarter, I said, is that Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, it was car accidents in the middle of the field, left and right. So, it sucked, but you need him. This is your guy.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
I think where Joe's going is like some guys can play through certain injuries. This particular one, for the way that he plays football, really changes who he is. And I think it's a tough one. I don't think it's you play him if he could play it. I think you got to also think like long term about this. Like, is there any chance he can get fully healthy for the remainder of this season? If that's out the window, then you probably are paying them no matter what. But if there's a glimmer of hope that, hey, he sits a month and maybe he's closer to 95%, a month from now, then I think it's something you have to consider.
I don't know if he's going to ever be healthy. Who's 100% healthy in football at this point?
No, I know, but Bonte, like, if you're
I get it.
He's not a pocket quarterback. Right. Like, he needs to move around a little, and in the pocket, he just didn't look comfortable.
Yeah, but I thought he moved around all right because that pass rush was coming. You heard Baldy, Trent Williams giving a lot of ground on that offensive line. That offensive line did not play well on Sunday. I don't care what PFF says.
Well, I'm with you on that.
Like, I'm watching back three times now. I don't think that offensive line performed well at all. And I thought Jacksonville was hunting. Josh Hines-Allen was hunting. They got some dudes on that defense. So I thought at times he moved around. The problem with Purdy, and he's been doing this over the last, ever since last year when he didn't have McCaffrey, he didn't have Ayuk, and he didn't have Deebo, and all those guys not playing, he's trying to hit the home run too much.
Yeah.
Even on the McCaffrey play, where I thought he threw the ball high, and McCaffrey tipped, he had a guy underneath. Just take your checkdowns and move to six. Early in the game, first drive of the game, he had Brayden Willis in the back of the end zone open. He didn't trust him. I get it. He's Brayden Willis, right? It's not George Kittle. How can you trust him? But Purdy had him there, and he didn't pull the trigger because he didn't quite trust it. So he's got to take what the defense gives him, and he's trying to hit the home run too much.
Well, that's frustrating, too, because all offseason and training camp, Bonte, what was he saying he needs to be better at? It's taking what the defense gives him and playing within himself and not trying to do too much, which is what he was doing last year. But at the same time, when you have a bottom five running game, I kind of understand what he's trying to do because he knows that McCaffrey's not going to get anything on the ground. Brian Robinson's not going to get anything on the ground. Like, this is the worst San Francisco rushing attack under Kyle Shanahan I've ever seen.
No, it's not
bad.
It's not good. I mean, it's not good. And you're throwing the ball 35, 40 times in one-score games. It's not how Shanahan wants to play. It's not how they want to operate as an offense. And so, yes, you're not running the football. But he's just Purdy's got to stop hitting the home run, and I get why he's doing it.
Yeah.
I can understand it. You don't have number 85 there. Pearsall gets banged up, and all of a sudden, he's out of the game. Jennings is not 100%.
Yeah. But on
you're
the
throwing
play
to Kendrick Bourne, who just got here, and Kendrick Bourne,
you gotta make that play.
He dropped a dime. So that game could flip in so many different ways. So when you got a lot of moving parts offensively, and you're not getting consistent reps with the same guys over and over and over again, and oh, by the way, it was DeMarcus Robinson's first game, and I'm not trying to make excuses for Purdy. Purdy played. He was awful in that football game. I don't want to sugar again. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Purdy has got to be better as a franchise quarterback. He's got to be better. But I also understand the human element and said, boy, I don't have this guy. I don't have that guy. So maybe we're going to overcompensate and try to hit a grand slam here. And he's got to chill off these turnovers, man. That will cost you football games. It almost cost you Seattle, and it obviously cost you against Jacksonville.
Well, and I look at the Jacksonville quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. It's not like he was special. He wasn't wowing me. Talk about a guy.
He's very mediocre.
Every time I watch him, Bonte, we can have like a minute or two on this. I just come away underwhelmed every single time I watch Trevor Lawrence. Number one overall pick. He's got the size. And yeah, he was able to use that on that fourth and short when they got pushed from some of his teammates for that first down when they went for the sneak. But 21 to 31, 174, one touchdown. But the thing that he didn't do, he didn't turn the ball over. And that's what Brock did. And that was what cost him the game. And for the longest time, Trevor Lawrence, a guy that needs to probably play way more than himself, just like Brock, like, the interceptions and the fumbles, like ad nauseum for Trevor in the past. He didn't do that this game. And that was ultimately what lost them.
Well, turnovers, bad cover skills. You give up 3 points before halftime on a kickoff coverage.
Bad angles.
That's terrible. The punt return touchdown, you give that up. Look, Trevor, I think Trevor's going to be all right this year. I like this Liam Cohen guy. And Brian Thomas Jr.'s got to play better. He's got to catch the football.
Stay in bounds?
Stay in bounds. So I think his receivers have got to be better. I'm really eager to see how to use Travis Hunter moving forward. Brent Strange is a good tight end, man. He's balling right now. Yeah. You have the ready game right now with Travis Etienne. It's alleviating some of the pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. And then there is something. There is something to have a constant turnover at offensive coordinators and head coaches. And obviously he had Doug Peterson. They go to the playoffs. He has a good year. And then they regress. They regress, and then you got a new coaching staff. So I'm going to give Trevor the benefit of the doubt. Sure, he didn't wow you with anything on Sunday, but he did what he had to do to get a damn victory, which is take care of the football, lead on that running game. And let's not – look, despite the Niners not hit the quarterback and pressure the quarterback, I thought the defense held up well for the Niners. They built but didn't break. It kept them in that football game because Fred was flying around everywhere trying to cause havoc. He almost forced a couple fumbles in that football game. But the hustle on defense, as Baldy pointed out, and his Baldy breakdown, not good enough. Your DBs at times missing tackles, not good enough. Bad angles. But I think Trevor, they're going to be a little better. I wouldn't close the door on Trevor Lawrence quite yet.
Well, I don't think anyone's closing the door. It's just
AFC South is wide open. Too.
People called him the greatest prospect ever.
Well, we debunked that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not
like
just
John Elway didn't exist.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Andrew Luck.
But that's the new media. That's these young kids, which is why we spoke at NorCal Media Day to school these young high school journalists. Because the Spadonis of the world
the
are saying everything
bad.
Is the greatest thing
sound
ever.
Like someone else I know. The youth is bad.
No. The youth ain't bad. It's just everything's the greatest thing ever. Oh my God, he's the greatest prospect ever. No, let's chill.
It's okay to say is considered one of the greatest. That's what we say, but you guys hear what you want to hear. You and Shasky say, no, he said this. This is what he said. Don't put words in our mouth.
One of the greatest is silly. We had Andrew Luck come through and Michael Vick come through and Philip Rivers come through.
This is where I get frustrated.
We got to stop
that. It's okay to say multiple people are one of the greatest.
Where
are we at? It's okay to say that.
Where are we at right now?
You guys are insane.
As a group, where are we at with Trent Williams right now? I thought that they used to run to the left side. Baldy would tell me all the time, Joe, they could play with their right hand tied behind their back because they're a one-handed team. And they would go with Aaron. And I didn't think Aaron Banks was worth $20 million.
Highest graded Niner on offense, by the way, according to Pro Football Focus. Trent
do
Williams.
You believe in Pro Football Focus?
Sometimes, when I want to.
Do you know how they quantify grades?
Yeah, they use formulas and metrics and too bigs of words for me because I don't understand.
My eyeballs told me he just did not play good.
Yeah, so
and I thought there was a couple of specific spots. They had a 3rd and 3 before the 4th and 2. They ran to the left side, which is like a hallmark play for them. And the play just got blown up. And then he's like jarring with the other team. And I'm like, Trent, what are you doing? I don't know. Trent has been an excellent player for them. But the last 2 years, he has not been as good. He's still solid. He's just not as good as what he was a couple years ago.
He's not in that elite category right now.
No.
Maybe he gets there, but right now I don't see it. I don't see it.
So you're with me on that.
Well, I've watched the game. I mean, yeah, I think everybody sees it, right? And the whole Pro Football Focus, I asked somebody this because the run blocking grades and the pass blocking grades came out yesterday. And I've done work for PFF, done videos for them, but I don't believe in their metrics. I don't believe in their method on how to grade. So I asked somebody, I don't run the question, but I'm curious how PFF grades positions, blocking, et cetera. How useful is PFF in your opinion? So I got told, hey, they have a team of analysts who watch every game with cross-checkers. It's useful because there are people under the same umbrella and guidelines who watch every play from every game. To me, the grades are nebulous, but it gives a general idea of who's playing well and who's not, though they do not know the assignment of each player. I like it for stats, sacks, pressures allowed, et cetera. So they don't know the assignments. And the Niners being the top 5 run-blocking unit, it's a joke to me. But some people run with it like, see, I told you, PFF said to grade. Come on, man. They're not running the ball well. There's not a lot of lanes to run through. Because teams, and I tell you what, as well as Pearsall's played, is there any team out there right now that fears the 49ers passing
game? No, they're not double-teaming him.
Exactly.
They're going to say, he's still being very important right now. He is. But he's not and this goes back to number one wide receiver. We talk about number one wide receivers. The guys that are true number one wide receivers need to be bracketed by multiple players, and they need to be honored on that side of the field and dictate coverage on the rest of the field.
Yep.
Right now, and it has been for a while, it's 5-man front on the line and then multiple linebackers, and they're saying, we dare you to beat us over the top, which is why the Pearsall play sticks out to me. Pearsall made a great catch.
Yep.
It goes down as a catch. It's a hell of a play by Pearsall. He adjusted to it. That should have been a better play had Purdy led him and threw it over the top, over the safety. Like, I thought they might have had six on that play. You're talking about home run plays. That's one they want.
Kind of threw that off the back foot, kind of felt the rush there and just kind of let it fly. And, you know, in a situation like that, you just got to give your playmaker a chance to make a play.
And Pearsall made a great adjustment.
And Pearsall made a great play.
Incredible.
Sometimes you got to do that. Especially when the rush is in your face. So, yeah, throw should be better. But I get it. He's throwing off the back foot. The rush is coming in. And you're just trying to get the ball up there and give your guy a chance to make a play. But to that point, they don't fear the 49ers passing game and their wide receivers, which is why teams are allowing from the Saints to the Cardinals and now to the Jaguars, go ahead, throw it on us.
Yep.
We do not fear you guys, but we're going to slam your run game and make sure that you are unbalanced because we know you don't like to be unbalanced, and we're going to slam your run game. So that's why it's hard for me to determine whether or not McCaffrey's lost a step. Is he the same from 2023? Probably not. But it's like, he's just done. He's cooked. Well, he can't be cooked when he's cooking dudes in the pass game all day long.
That's just
you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if he has a fifth gear yet because there's no running room.
Well, and I also think
he's been their second best receiver.
He might be their best receiver, right? I think one of the things that's been frustrating is without George Kittle, you see Juszczyk out there a lot, and he is lining up as a tight end, you know, in a traditional sense. But if I see him motion back and forth and back and forth, he moves so much before they're going to hike it to just slightly graze a guy in the run game. He's not plowing anyone right now, and I'm not trying to isolate him. He's not the only one, but it just feels very predictable, and teams aren't biting on any of the pre-snap motion stuff. They are standing pat, and they're saying, we are going to dare you to beat our 8 and 9 man boxes.
No doubt, and they can't do it right now, and they cannot do it. And the Rams, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do the same thing. Yep. It's a copycat league. Teams see a game plan. They watch the film.
Well,
they say, we're going to employ this one. Here we go.
I'm very worried about Verse this week.
Verse, my Florida
State. He looks like Khalil Mack way back when.
Florida State.
The power.
That's a team that could be 4-0. They blew the Eagles game,
they
right?
They should have won that game.
I mean, you get a lot of these teams, so we're not going to apologize for wins.
No.
Because the Cardinals could be 3-1. Yeah. They could be 4-0. They're 2-2. This thing, that's why it's so important that they started 3-0.
Yep.
You stack those wins. And you know what? Maybe they're going to get so disrespected coming into Thursday Night Football. It's a divisional game. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll see who suits up.
Even if they drop to, I'm just going, extreme here, 3-3, okay? Even if you drop to 3-3. I had them at 3-3 before the season. It's just how you got there was insane because of the injuries.
I keep saying, I'm good with 5-4 after 9. You got 6 of your first 9 games on the road. You got the cross-country flight to Tampa Bay. You got Sunday Night Football against Atlanta. That's going to be a pivotal game. That's a swing game.
Yeah.
That's
even
a swing
Carolina's primetime game, that's their only primetime game.
Right.
That might be their
Sunday
Super
Night
Bowl.
Football. Yo, Carolina? Yeah, that's later
I'm not
down
trying to like hype up Carolina.
They're going
to
smack Carolina.
but you're going to get their best effort. I'm not saying that's an yes, you should win that game, but we act like these teams also don't get fired.
Well, that's why I laugh when everybody says the schedule's easy. Like, what are you watching?
There's who knows where the Bears
are? And then that's a problem. I wanted to get into this on the other side. We got too many people who cover the team, and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but we talk about this team. We don't have any appropriate fear for the opponents. We just think our stuff don't stink around here, and we refuse to give credit to other teams and tip your hat. Sometimes they just kick your ass, and they're better than you. So previewing another team and saying, we're going to just slap them because they're Jacksonville. Oh, they're the same old Jaguars. Pay attention to what they're doing down there. They're cooking something good at Duval County.
No, I thought the Jaguars punked the Niners this last week. You saw from the the defensive coordinator getting upset after the game. You saw from Trent Williams getting upset during the game on the sideline. Then Fred Warner did something. I don't think we talked about it much yesterday. That kind of bothered me. We'll get into that on the other side. Bonte Hill in studio for the rest of this show. Every Tuesday, 8 to 10, Bonte Hill in studio, courtesy of River Islands. We'll also get Bonte's thoughts on Bob Melvin getting the axe from San Francisco. And Warriors Media Day was yesterday. And I saw all the behind-the-scenes little pictures, Bonte, and your story. Steph, Jimmy, Draymond, we'll get your thoughts on all of it. Plus, the man himself, Jonathan Kuminga. And it's going to be brought to you by Moderna. Dub Nation, because we're talking about it all right now. Dub Nation, Orange and Black Nation, the Giants, everything's happening in the Bay right now.
Did you see what's happening? John Lynch just said on another station that Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall are both questionable for the Rams game officially.
I wouldn't play them.
Purdy and Pearsall both questionable.
On a artificial surface, by the way. That is interesting. We'll get into that. I just want to mention this. Preseason's right around the corner. 95.7 The Game is tipping things off in style. Join us at Pier 39 this Saturday, October 4th, for a Warriors preseason special. You won't want to miss live appearances from Warriors favorites, Festus Ezeli, Zaza Pachulia, Kalena Azubuike, Tim Roy, and last but certainly not least, Bonte Hill, plus your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game, which is going to be on the following Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors host LeBron James and the Lakers. And if that's not enough, E-Dog, Evan Giddings, and Guru are going to be broadcasting live from 12 to 4. It's hoops, it's hype, and the season's almost here. Your station for everything Warriors, 95.7 The Game, Bonte.
Steiny doesn't work Saturdays?
No. Definitely.
Well, Goo doesn't work Thursday, so, you know.
I didn't say it, Goo.
Steiny, I didn't say it either.
I got your back.
This is a 5-8 work week for you, buddy.
You were teasing something before the break. What were
about
you going to get at?
I don't remember.
About 5 minutes ago. Disrespecting other teams or something?
I'm sorry. We both said it,
Oh, the whole Sala Cohen thing.
Okay.
What coach in America wouldn't be upset if you heard an opposing coach say that
at a podium,
you're legally stealing signs?
That was a shot.
I thought that was a bad look for the Niners.
I thought it was a terrible look for the 49ers, and it's okay to say that. You know, and Shanahan doubled down and said, hey, he's a little sensitive. You don't think they're a little jacked up saying, we put in 24 hours a day effort to get ready for a game, and we're trying to build a program here in Jacksonville, and it could be anybody. And you don't think other teams are looking for advantages? We talk about this in baseball all the time, side stealing. It's prevalent in baseball.
It's the basketball.
NBA, basketball.
It's
you're looking
content.
For hand signals, nods. You're looking for any little edge. In football, you're looking, okay, if this guy is lined up like this, it's a run play.
A tell.
If this guy, exactly. You're looking for any little clue.
Head nods.
So I thought it was just a little strange for Sala to come out like that and say, hey, they're really good at it. They're legally doing it, but they're elite at side stealing. And people are mad on the 49ers side where I see Sterling Biddick. Oh, they're crying. Like, Sterling, dial it down a little bit. You don't need to tweet about every goddamn thing, okay? And trust me, it's not going anywhere. But you don't have to just take shots at Jacksonville you don't think they're going to be fired up after winning that game, a cross-country flight to go to 3-1?
Huge
win with their defense and all the takeaways. And we get labeled as cheaters, basically saying we're illegally stealing signs and that's how we get an advantage. Of course they're going to be fired up about that. So I thought it was a bad look for the 49ers in that aspect. And I thought it was a bad look for some of the fans. Jacksonville, you guys are sensitive about this. Wait a minute. If Sean McVay went on that podium and said, you know, Shanahan and Sala, they've been elite at stealing signs, what would we be saying?
Yeah, we would be furious.
We would be hot.
The fact is, Sala also mentioned Sean McVay when he was going
at Kevin O'Connell.
That's why I'm a little worried.
Well, so this is okay.
That's why I'm a little worried.
I went down the rabbit hole on this, and like the final game that he played for the Jets as head coach, the final game he coached, was in London against the Vikings, where Kevin O'Connell destroyed them. They beat him like 27-6 or whatever it was. And he felt some kind of way about something that happened with Kevin O'Connell. Then him and Liam Cohen were both going for that Jacksonville job. And I guess Cohen got Trent Baalke fired because he wasn't going to go there unless he had his hand-selected GM. Yep. And so Sala felt some kind of way. Here's the thing. Even if you feel like that, keep it to yourself in this situation.
I didn't think
it was appropriate to bring at the podium and then to do it afterwards. I thought it was a bad look for everybody. Man, I laughed at it. Like, I'm going to mess you up. It was ridiculous.
But people are mad. What, you wanted Liam Cohen to shake his hand?
No.
I understand completely why Liam Cohen. Yeah, it's high stakes football, man. There's a lot of legacy. So for him to walk by and not shake his hand, I totally get it. But, you know, to say, hey, we're legally stealing signs. They're legally doing that. That's basically saying we're cheating to get an advantage. You don't have to say it without saying it.
I didn't like it.
And then you throw in McVay. I'm a little worried about that.
And then I think about gamesmanship of like Bill Walsh and Bill Parcells and turning off the headset and two of them going at each other. You wouldn't have Bill Walsh walk up to a podium and accuse Parcells or Parcells at a podium. They would reference it like, oh, you know, they like to play games, goofing around, but they wouldn't do the way he did it. I thought was very deliberate.
I did too. And And Shanahan, sorry to cut you off, Shash, no. Shanahan came in and doubled down on it too. And it was like, hey, I think they're being a little sensitive about it. Like, let's just let it die. Let's just take the L and keep it moving. But you brought up Bill Walsh and Parcells. Remember the classic clip at the Meadowlands where Parcells said, hey, you better knock it off or I expose your ass.
Yeah. It was great. Because they said back in the day, if you had your headsets that didn't work, then both teams would have no headsets. And the Niners had elaborate hand signals.
Dude, New England, Spadoni.
I was saying it yesterday.
Belichick, the headsets would go off for the visiting team all the time. Tom would always say, dude, the visiting headsets always go out in Foxborough.
And they're prepared for it.
Exactly.
And so like,
Al
which
Davis
brings
calling
me,
them out.
Which brings me to this. Like, Liam Cohen, didn't know much about him. I mean, obviously, you see Tampa Bay's offense, and you're like, wow, like, that's why he found Bucky Irving. And I don't know. Like, you just never know if it's the GM or the coach or the coordinator or what. When he ran, after whatever happened with the penalty, they're backed up against the end zone, and it was 2nd and 17. They do a run play. The Niners love these big third down packages to switch personnel. They go no tempo, no huddle, don't allow the Niners to sub, and then rip a seam pass to Travis Hunter to get the matchup that they're looking for with their rookie. I was like, that was so brilliant on so many levels. From Liam Cohen, he used pace and tempo really well throughout the entirety of the game.
No doubt. And when you watch him on film, and you're getting ready for the game, I remember Carlos Ramirez, we were doing the 49ers Now stream. I said, I think this game's going to play out like the first three games for the 49ers because of the respect not only for Liam Cohen, but what about their defensive coordinator, Anthony Capinelli?
Yeah.
They're turning... They already have more takeaways than they had all of 2024.
I'd never seen Lloyd play a full game. He was awesome.
Kevin Lloyd was sick.
He was awesome.
Sick. He's going to get paid. And then Josh Hines-Allen is reminding everybody, I'm an elite pass rusher, folks. Yeah. I can get to the quarterback and make plays in the pass game. They have a good secondary. So they got a good program going on in Jacksonville. Tip your cap to them. I think that team will be competing for a division title in the South with the Colts.
Josh Allen was same draft. I want to say Nick Bosa, his 7th overall pick, right?
You bring that up, Spadoni. I swear to God, I don't know if I should do that on radio, but...
It's okay. We'll allow it. We're Catholic.
This is the same draft you were going to trade the number 2 overall pick for Antonio Brown.
Exactly. And I walked that back.
I don't care.
How many times I was wrong about something. It doesn't offend me. I don't get paid for being right or wrong. I'm an entertainer, baby.
Sample that laugh.
Just sell. And just fire it. Listen. Too many people are worried about being right or wrong.
I hate you. Snort.
Too many people get worried about being right or wrong.
You know what I'm saying?
I can wear being wrong. A lot of people can't in this business anyway.
Have a take.
A little birdie yesterday was talking to me about the Niners.
Okay.
And I respect this birdie a lot.
All right.
A lot. I think we all do. If you guys knew who it was. but he goes, you know, Bonte, I wanted the Niners to trade down to get Josh Hines Allen. He's always available. He's a really good pass rusher. And the thing he said, he was like, I was always worried about Bosa being healthy. You know, his brother, never healthy. His father had injuries.
They're mercenaries.
They are. So, you know what? He was telling me, he was like, I always wanted him to trade down from the number 2 pick to get Josh Hines Allen. And now look at us. Wouldn't you rather have? And I was, it made me think, I don't know if I'd rather have him, but Bosa, we'll see how healthy he can be moving forward.
Mm.
And the money you're paying him.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Let me look at his stats right now because he's been pretty consistently.
When he plays for the Niners are usually a very good team.
Yeah.
I think the proof is in the pudding. I don't if you were going to have that argument, this is the year where.
A couple years ago?
What's that?
Josh Allen had 17 and a half sacks a couple years ago.
He's had some good years, but didn't he miss 7 or 8 games 1 year?
His second year, 2020, he played in 8.
There you go.
Yes,
so
but that's been the only year he's been non-healthy. Every other year he's played at least 16 games.
We look back at Bosa in 2023.
Yeah.
We complained about Bosa a lot on this show. And he had moments. He had moments the second half against Detroit.
It was not a great year.
It was not a great. That's what I'm saying.
It was not a great year.
Their last Super Bowl run.
By his standards.
The offense kind of carried that football team. Yeah. Although defense was better than
he was good in the Detroit NFC Championship game.
He was really good.
Quarter, he was really good.
I can't get the image out of my mind of him biting on that Mahomes option, though, on the 4th and 1 and just absolutely over pursued him. And Mahomes picked that up easily. Is my last. I'm sorry, but that's my lasting image in the Super Bowl is the over pursuit of Nick Bosa on Patrick Mahomes.
That's the other thing that the birdie said. He goes, how many times people run at Bosa? And then it's stuck with me, Baldy. You know, does he dominate backup tackles? Look, they miss Bosa right now. But Josh Hines Allen and the birdie talking to me yesterday was like, he made me think. I was like, damn, Josh Hines Allen's good.
I'm looking at this defense right now, and I am petrified of this Thursday night game, Ponte.
Don't be scared.
I'm scared for the Niners fans, because if Mac Jones has to be the starter, I don't think that's the worst thing for them.
Who's lining up against Devontae and Puka?
Well, there's pick your poison. Kind of what I'm getting at in this matchup.
You guys are so scared, man. It's all good.
Renardo Green's out.
Well, you're three and one. It's not the end of the world.
It's all doom and gloom around here.
It's not the end of the world.
Sausalito Spadoni now?
Well, no.
Sausalito Spadoni.
Eight minutes ago, you're telling me to respect the opponent, and now I have a healthy fear of what the Rams do well.
I know how you should ask. I love you. You love McVay now.
Well, I do.
You hated McVay.
I hate him, but I love him. It's like Pete Carroll. I hate him, and I love him.
Remember they used to label me as a McVay lover? I got a lot of respect for McVay.
I love McVay.
I respect them, but you know what? I'm not scared. This team, they're probably getting reamed in the locker room right now. They did turn the ball over four times. And they still had a damn chance to win the game on Sunday.
Ferrell fumble was huge.
Kickoff, the punt coverage and the kickoff coverage has got to be better.
They got to get Garendo off there. That's one thing. No, I'm serious. Like, when the Niners stunk, they used to have these like soft wide receivers on punt and kickoff coverage. And like, I look at their coverage unit right now. Here's a move that I would make that they have yet to do. I know that they brought in this Gifford guy to play special teams, and they've been using him in certain base packages.
Yep.
I would activate Nick Martin, and I would try to get Nick Martin on the field and rush one of my other linebackers.
You know what? And Nick Martin would fly down the football field.
You got to get creative somehow. That's a great point. Yeah. He's one of your, like, get your best players on the field.
Yep. Just fly down the football field and smack somebody. That's all you got to do. I like that for Nick Martin Spadoni. I do. Well, the kickoff coverage, we saw it in Arizona. The dynamic kick where you kick it out of bounds messed you up. Green Bay, how many poor kickoff coverages did they have against the Dallas Cowboys in Sunday Night Football?
To start the game, I thought they kicked it out of bounds and the kid caught it.
Oh, the kid caught it. Yeah, it was going to go out of bounds. Eddie Pinheiro. That's why, you know, Eddie Pinheiro, a lot of people ask. I think he needs to just calm down a little. They said, did you like the dancing? Gutierrez, he was taunting the Cardinals.
I
said, wait a minute. You just won 16-15. You're a kicker. Pipe down, bro, because you got a miss coming. You're going to miss a field goal soon.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on, man. He's not going perfect. Like we know it. Let's just be a kicker showboating like that and showing up the other team. Like, Eddie De Niro's
got
to chill.
Well, and then you just got here. And Adam Amin goes, like, right before the Jacksonville, they've got an old pro long snapper, an old pro holder who's their punter, and the kicker was all rookie last year. Boom, wide right. And I'm like, geez, I mean, like, really that game, and I know you like Jacksonville. I was impressed with them. Yeah. But both teams were like, I don't want to win this game.
No doubt. You take it.
The other team was like, no, actually, we insist that you take it. And they went back and forth. That game was sitting on a platter for somebody to go and seize, and it just...
The sliding out of bounds might have been the dumbest thing I've seen all year.
Well, they got bailed out.
Oh, my God.
The hold call on the Etienne play I thought was going to seal the game.
Right?
I thought Etienne had a 10-yard run that was going to kind of seal the game right then and there. And,
How about Armstead making that, the game-winning
play? Good for him.
I was thinking about him, though. I was thinking, it's a real revenge game for Eric Armstead, and you know, to make that play, to follow that football, good for him. And it felt good. I know it felt good for him to come back home. Basically, he's from Sacramento, grew up in this region. But you're right. The Niners turned the ball over, and even they had that final drive. And I'm thinking, wow, they're going to steal this football game. They're going to steal this football game, and it didn't. The fumble happened. So, did they deserve to win the game considering what happened? No. But Jacksonville left it on a silver platter for them. But you got to take care of special teams. You got to tackle better. You just got to convert, like the basic fundamentals of football, converting third downs, not turning the ball over. They didn't do any of that well on Sunday.
I want to get into what we talked about yesterday with them, Joe. And we started using this word a little bit. And I don't know if that's the word you use to describe Brock Purdy's play right now. But we dated back to the game on Christmas against the Baltimore Ravens.
Seven interception game?
It was awful. You know, I think it was Sam and I that filled in for both of you guys that week. We had Baldy
on. I'll never forget holding LJ getting text messages from his group friend. He should have thrown 9 interceptions in this game.
And then people got mad at me. Like, I wasn't watching the game. Hey, I was at the game.
Sam Darnold nearly made it a three-point game there late.
With three timeouts left. Legitimately 5 interceptions in that game.
Lamar got tripped by the ref in the end zone. That was my favorite part of the game,
Lamar looked like Michael Jordan.
I've never seen Fred look like the worst athlete against someone else. He looked pedestrian against Lamar. It was crazy.
But you charted the numbers of Brock since that game. Do you have them on hand? Yeah, I'll let you filibuster here. Yeah. I'll filibuster for you for a second until you get that.
It's right here.
But
so since the ball, these are regular season. So obviously there's some playoff moments in there that you can't gloss over because those are the big time games. But before that game, 17-3 the team was, 42-10. That's touchdowns to interceptions, only 6 fumbles. Okay, so you're looking at 42 touchdowns and 16 total turnovers. Okay. Since this point, he has...
This just regular season?
Yes. Since that point, that Baltimore game, 8-11 record, okay, instead of 17-3. Instead of 42-10, touchdown to interception, it's 26-20, and he has 8 fumbles in that time. So you're looking at more turnovers. We're not including the rushing stats, so that because he has 5 rushing touchdowns last year. That's a lot of turnovers. I know teams win and lose. Like, it's not just the individual player, but there is something about the turnovers.
And we used the word regress yesterday. Is that too strong of a word right now to say about Brock Bonte? But when he told me those stats, it actually was just kind of alarming. Now, a lot of that also coincided with Christian McCaffrey not being there. And that's a big talking point. When we talk about the discussion around Brock, it coincides with CMC.
You need weapons in this game, right? You need weapons. Now, we'll get to the regression. I don't think he's regressed. I think he has been beat up. But we saw Mahomes at the Chiefs look pedestrian without weapons. Now they're starting to get weapons back, right? Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice is coming back. And all of a sudden, Thornton's coming on. And all of a sudden, the Chiefs, I'm thinking, oh, man, they're going to represent the AFC again.
Right.
All of a sudden, they're 2-2 and back in business.
I wasn't throwing dirt on them.
No, I wasn't. It was way too early. Way too early. They should have beat the Eagles, for crying out loud. Kelce drops a pass in the end zone, and the Eagles go down and run out the clock.
Yeah. I still can't believe he dropped that.
So the Chiefs could be sitting at 3-1, and we're talking about them representing the AFC again. Some of it has to do with McCaffrey being out. Some of it has to do with Brandon Ayuk. I think this whole situation with Brandon Ayuk,
it sucks.
We underrated the rapport Brock Purdy had with Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
He was quietly his most trusted, reliable source in the passing game. And we underrated it because of Ayuk and the contract and the money. We said, oh, he could just move on. We don't need Brandon Ayuk. But damn, it'd be nice to have Brandon Ayuk now, wouldn't it be?
Not only do you miss the player, he's also making a lot of money, which you accounted for by saying goodbye to other players.
So
it's a double whammy.
So Ayuk's hurt last year. McCaffrey's hurt last year. Kittle missed some games. Deebo missed some games.
Trent missed 7.
Trent missed a lot of games. So, look, is Brock Purdy doing too much? He has to take responsibility for the turnovers.
Yeah.
He's doing too much. I remember the Detroit Monday night game where they were driving, and the safety just baited him in the middle of the field, and Brock throws an interception after having a really good game. So the turnovers have got to get cut down. Is some of that a byproduct of guys getting hurt? Absolutely. Offensive line being beat up? Absolutely. But some of it is on Brock, too,
where
you got to take care of the ball. Well,
see, because this is a separate conversation. Like, part of the Jimmy thing wasn't just the turnovers. It was, when he plays, they're pretty good. They win. He's a good player. He's not the best, but he's freaking good. You're going to struggle to find someone better than him in the league. But the body kept depreciating year after year. And then physically, he wasn't the same player. You go back and you watch the highlights from that NFC Championship game. He's running around on Detroit. His legs were the big separator. Yeah. He made great throws. But the legs. And now, like, when you see him compromised and the injuries are mounting up, I know it's early in the season. And I just worry about, you know, as the year goes on, how's he going to get healthier playing week after week? I don't know, man. The body, I'm starting to have question marks.
And that loss, that's why it's so frustrating. Because, Bonte, I'll let you finish here. That's why I wanted Mac to start this game. I really wanted as much rest as I could for Brock leading up to a short... We all knew it was going to be a short week and a short turnaround. And how are we feeling after that loss and him already complaining about his toe soreness after it? short week, going down on an artificial surface in SoFi.
We don't even know if Mac was healthy enough to play.
No. I don't even care.
Last week?
Don't even care. No, I don't care. You protect an investment at this point, Vontae.
If they're both going to be limited. This is a Pop Warner football,
dude.
What are you talking about?
Mac couldn't run last week. Invested in this guy.
Mac, well, right now he's making $9 million or whatever it is, Brock Purdy. Right now his cap hit is $9 million. He's got an $8 million signing bonus. So really he's a $9 million quarterback for this year. For this year, he's a $9 million quarterback.
But you've been budgeting for years.
Yeah, no doubt.
Him,
but he's a $9 million quarterback. Those are the numbers.
He's a $90 million dead cap.
Right. So, no, I know. He's got
guaranteed
money.
You've invested in him.
But Mac Jones couldn't move after the Arizona game.
That's the part.
The PCL
I don't know.
Injury was there, so you're going to throw out a guy on one leg.
He would have been a participant yesterday. I don't buy that.
We're
for
talking
a
about
second.
The Jacksonville games, Spadoni, last week.
No.
Last week.
Yesterday, he would have been a full participant in practice.
Last week. They don't practice on Mondays in the first place.
Yeah, but right? If they were to,
last week,
he would have been a full
Mac
participant.
Mac Jones could not move. He could not move
last
week.
The week prior. I get that.
He could not move.
Brock clearly didn't trust his feet enough, and he didn't move enough in this game.
What we're talking about here is Mac Jones. How many practices did Mike Jones have last week? Producers. What was he a limited participant?
Yeah,
he's very limited with the PCL injury.
I didn't even know if he suited up on Sunday.
I saw pictures.
I texted everyone. I was like, guys, I don't see him on any of the active lists.
He was limited all week. Limited all week with the PCL injury. So we're going to throw out a guy because, all right, Brock Purdy says he's 80% last week, 75%. We can't put a percentage on it. But what if Mac's 50%? You're still going to throw him out there?
I would have felt better getting blown out with my backup and Mac Jones than losing a close game with my starter who's now coming away.
So I disagree on that opinion. No, that's
not even close.
That's fair. That's your opinion. But I got frustrated. This is why I think the Carter Bradley thing was kind of a joke in the preseason.
It was a joke.
Because, of any of the organizations that rolls through quarterbacks on a yearly basis, this one should take the third quarterback spot more serious.
I agree.
I thought the Carter Bradley thing, honestly, was a giant waste of time. And it bit him. If that's the case, what you just played out, would you agree with me? If Brock was hypothetically at 75 and Mac was at 50 and they were too afraid to play the third string quarterback for the remainder of Shanahan's tenure here, they should never waste that third quarterback spot ever again. And I know that sounds insane, but guys, listen to what we were having the conversation about.
Well,
the guy you've invested $150 million in, if he goes back on the IR. I will go back to the third quarterback and say, you made a giant mistake wasting everyone's time.
Well, first of all, how much money you got to invest in a third quarterback? Teams don't want to invest a lot into the third quarterback.
I get it.
But going to training, I told you.
You first, said it.
Carter Bradley, I was like, what? I was sitting there watching practice. I was just dropping my head. I was like, we gotta stop this. This is not good. I know he's Gus Bradley's son.
But that's not,
It was just not.
This is the NFL.
He's not. I don't even know if he could play in the CFL. And then you had Tanner Mordecai, who I never thought was good coming out of Wisconsin. I didn't think he was good at Wisconsin, and I definitely didn't think he was good with the 49ers.
And they drafted a guy with a torn ACL.
Right. Dude from Indiana.
Rourke.
Yes. Zach Green's boy. So, I want to bet. So, Spadoni, you're not going to go in there saying, okay, Mac Jones at 50% who limped around all week. That's what the reports were. I was talking to Mayoko, but he's limping around all week. And if Purdy was ready, Purdy almost played the Arizona game. That's why the 2-5 week report by Ian Rappaport.
Thank God he did.
Mayoko said it right away. That's a little overblown. Purdy was almost—he was close to playing the Arizona game.
So let me ask you this then.
So Mac, you can't throw Spadoni. You can't throw Mac out there against that defense just because you're trying to protect an asset. That's unfair to Mac Jones.
Do you feel?
You also have Mac Jones for 2 years. You can't do that and try to. What if Mac Jones goes out there and tears his whole knee up? Now his career's over. You know what I'm saying?
And
that's
you
not
need
fair.
A backup quarterback.
Exactly.
Wasn't that
so
serious?
Now,
if he was a full part, he would have been a full participant
well,
yesterday.
They're saying
we're talking
that.
About,
that's a hypothetical.
Yeah, it's a hypothetical.
I don't know.
Not only that, they're saying that. Purdy and Pearsall's questionable this week.
But let me ask
nobody believes they're playing. So I'm talking about leaving in Jacksonville.
Playing?
What are you saying? They're questionable.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's going to try to gut it
I'm
out.
I'm doubtful.
Yeah,
he
I'm
plays.
Very doubtful. He
so
plays.
Let me ask you guys this one. Okay. Forget the words quarterback controversy. Just remove that. I'm talking about the injury because we know Purdy's the guy when Mac wins this week and Purdy's just kind of up in the air in terms of the health. And then what? What do we do? What do the Niners do?
They play Brock Purdy if he's ready to roll. Brock Purdy's your guy.
Regardless.
Brock Purdy's your guy.
Injured Brock Purdy gives him a better chance to win than Mac Jones?
I'm just asking out loud, guys.
Mac Jones, we got to see how Mac Jones moves. I'm very eager to see. The last time I saw Mac Jones, He was limping around. I know. Couldn't even. He was like, remember Peyton
but
Manning's
last year? He did leave a game winning drive.
Peyton Manning, they scored 16 points. I get it. He led the game winning drive. It was great.
Yeah, I know.
The
it wasn't
fourth
great.
Fourth quarter was almost bad with the safety and the interception and all that stuff. But Mac Jones, he gets credit for helping them win. But I give a lot of credit to the defense for keeping them in the game.
That was a hell of a drive.
It was a hell of a drive. But quarterbacks don't win games by themselves. Shanahan has some great play designs, too, in that drive. The screen pass, Chris McCaffrey.
It was amazing.
It was great. But Mac Jones also looked like Peyton Manning trying to hand the football off to Chris McCaffrey. Remember Peyton Manning his last year with Denver? They had to line up at shotgun because he couldn't move. That's Mac Jones. You line up Mac Jones under center, can he even move? You try to run his own read with a messed up knee, a PCL, and you're limping around. Now, Mac Jones is spinning the ball well, and I like the fact that people have warmed up to Mac Jones because we're now seeing that he's not as bad as what everybody thought he was. The guy's a capable quarterback.
I've always liked Mac. Yeah.
He's a capable quarterback.
So, but what do you do with Brock's foot? Like, I just, to me, the,
it's a
the
toe,
foot,
toe, toe.
Jimmy,
toe,
the toe.
Which is on the foot.
But clearly the toe needs time. And like, to me, if he looks like he did on Sunday in terms of mobility, I don't love that. And I don't think that's something he can play with all year and expect him to be, a good player.
Well, we know Shanahan, right? Christian McCaffrey had a calf injury going into the Seattle game. We didn't know if he was going to play.
I know.
And he had 31 touches. So if Purdy tells Shanahan, I'm ready to roll, I got to shoot that bat.